Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. Before the Thanksgiving meal has turned into leftovers, many people shift their focus from giving thanks to holiday shopping. There are Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals to catch and a mad dash to check off everyone on your giving list. This is also the time of year when nonprofits and community organizations make an annual appeal for donations. But giving isn't limited to writing a check. There are a number of ways we can give back to community organizations, and all of them have a good chance of making you feel good at the same time. Today, we discuss some of the greatest needs in our community and the many ways we can give, whether it is writing a check, donating a toy, or volunteering time or skills. And we'd like to hear from you this morning. Are you giving back to the community this year, and how do you decide what organizations to support? 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. In studio with us is Karen Delaney, Acting Executive Director at the Falmouth Service Center. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
And Christine Menard, she's Executive Director of the Family Pantry of Cape Cod. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning.
And on the phone, Hadley Luddy, Executive Director of the Homeless Prevention Council. Good morning, Hadley.
Good morning.
So, Karen, this is the first year we haven't had Brenda Swain on the program. And for listeners who don't know, she is on a medical leave from the service center. And, of course, we send her our best wishes and wish her well. But since the 2008 economic recession, it seems as though every year more and more people on the Cape and Islands are in need of assistance. We're hearing from public schools where more children are eligible for free and reduced lunch programs and from many social service agencies. What are you seeing as far as an increase in the number of people seeking assistance this year? Is it still on the way up?
We have definitely seen an increase in the number of families coming to our pantry and the number of families attending our school markets. And just in October, we did over 6,000 bags of food in 1 month.
Wow.
And that was for about over 1,700 people who were served by that. In addition, we have seen big increases in our school markets and our Joint Base Cape Cod markets.
Hmm. So, Chris, are you seeing the same kinds of trends in the family pantry in terms
of
those numbers?
Definitely. This is actually the third year of double-digit growth for us in regards to visits. This year, we've seen numbers that we've never seen in the past. Last week, we served 540 families, and on average, we usually serve about 480-ish. And it looks like this year we'll serve almost 10,000 people. We'll break that number, and then we'll distribute roughly 100 to 105,000 bags of groceries. Mm. So for 3 years, it has just kept rising.
So you're asking yourself now, is this a fluke or is it the new norm?
And that's the question.
Mm-hmm.
We're lucky enough that we have quite a bit of flex within the organization that we can accommodate the need. And thankfully, due to the community, to be honest, and 650 volunteers, we can meet the need. But, we have to do a little soul searching to say, okay, is this the new norm? And how does that affect the pantry in the long run?
Has the demographics changed?
No, it's pretty much the same. We're seeing there's about a third that are children, a third that are seniors, and then everybody else is in the muddy middle. But we do see a lot of the seasonal workers that are not able to, cobble three jobs in the winter to make ends meet. So there's a significant increase there. But overall, it's working families. We are what's called a sustaining pantry. It's not just about an emergency situation, but 65% of our clients are families with one or if not two working members in the family.
Mm. Is that the same thing you're saying, Karen?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, yeah. We've seen an increase in seniors as well. Seniors that I think originally some of their kids brought them in. And now they feel comfortable, particularly we've really pushed that they can stretch their budget more.
Yeah. Hadley, what are the trends that you're seeing in numbers of people seeking assistance and the demographic of those in need?
Right. So we have very similar trends in terms of seeing a real uptick in seniors on the lower and outer Cape. In fact, we've been doing a lot of outreach at the local senior centers to try to encourage anyone with a fear of permanent or stable housing availability to reach out to us and to start to do some planning around that. We also actually see a real increase in the number of unaccompanied youth or youth facing homelessness who have needs. And I would say what's interesting to us is while our numbers have sort of stayed the same within the 1,700 to 1,900 numbers annually of the folks that we serve, we just see much more complicated cases. Mm-hmm. As the housing costs go up, and as people really have to focus on making ends meet with a primary focus of staying housed, all of these other areas of need increase, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just more complicated in terms of people making those tough decisions around where are they putting that little bit of extra money that they might have. And this is where programs like Family Pantry and other resources are so critical to be ongoing supports for families and individuals in need.
Heather, you mentioned that you've been reaching out to the senior centers, and is the issue there that they, and we've talked about this in the past, they tend to say, you know what, somebody else needs it more than I do.
Right.
Is that the issue?
Well, no, the issue with seniors was that we were having folks reach out to us basically to, in a number of cases, say that they were losing their housing and were looking for support to find something new. And because there really is no available housing and the wait lists are so long for senior housing, we've been doing outreach in a program called Let's Talk About Tomorrow to actually go through the steps with anyone who has concerns about the stability of their housing, especially those that are renting. To take a look at what their long-term plans are and also other ways to get support. So whether they get referred onto the Family Pantry or other organizations or come in with us to do some case management and some budgeting, it's really just looking at those steps to be sure that we are best supporting seniors in need and reaching those that are vulnerable.
And we have, the Family Pantry has a partnership with Hadley's team. So she has a case manager that comes to the pantry on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Because a lot of times if you're struggling with food and clothing, you're probably struggling with housing. And if we hear about that as they're going through the pantry, then we can just turn them right around and they go around the corner. And then she has her case manager there. And Ellie can sit down and go through all of the basic concerns and then, you know, take it from there. So it's a really great partnership between the two organizations.
Yeah. Absolutely. And one thing that's interesting to note is that in that particular case, things like fuel assistance are available to seniors and to, you know, lots of folks on the Cape that may be eligible for fuel assistance and don't realize that they are. And even sitting down with the case manager to fill out that application and see if they can get some assistance can make an enormous difference this time of year. When you think about the stress of holiday time and all the financial issues around winter time here, you know, there's lots of little programs and situations that can be addressed that way.
Yeah. So what do you see as the top three issues facing moderate to low-income residents in our region? You mentioned housing, which I'm sure is definitely in that top three. Karen, let's start with you. What are the big issues facing?
Housing is definitely the top issue for us. We are, when our clients apply for financial assistance, the biggest request is for rent or mortgage assistance and also the high cost of heating. So we, as Hadley mentioned, we pour a lot of people into the fuel assistance program.
Yeah, same for you.
Yeah, we help people with both fuel assistance and SNAP applications. They can be so complicated that, you know, you have to have a PhD to figure out just the form.
Right.
So to be able to have volunteers or people like the case manager from Homeless Prevention Council, it's critical. But the other thing that we see is, you know, it's the housing and certainly fuel, but transportation. You know, there's a lot of great programs on the Cape, but they can't get there from here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's always a struggle and something that we always have to think about when people say, well, just consolidate. But really, that's not fair because, you know, you might live in Yarmouth, but you can't get to Harwich because there's no direct route. You know, there is, you know, a little bit of mass transportation, but not very much.
Yeah. So, Hadley, is that are those top issues the same things you're seeing?
They are the top issues, yeah, housing for sure. Affordable child care, I would also add in to a concern that we certainly see that there's only so many slots on for child care on the lower and outer Cape in particular. I'm sure that may be the case in other areas as well, but that's another long-term concern that we worry about.
Sure.
Where people, again, are making that choice between housing, paying for child care, getting a job that can work within their schedule and their budget, and do they have the child care and can they afford the child care to be able to have that job?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Karen, remind us the different supports that Falmouth Service Center offers.
So to Chris's point, we partner with a lot of people to try to bring as many services as possible under one roof for the transportation issue. So we partner with WeCan to bring their legal consults and financial empowerment to the Falmouth Service Center. We partner with Community Action Committee so people can apply for MassHealth. Child Care Network also does appointments for people who need to help with their child care vouchers. We do SNAP and fuel assistance, financial assistance. We try to have as many resources in our building as possible. Yeah.
Just a quick question when you're talking about child care. Do you work with grandparents raising grandchildren and helping them with some resources?
No, they use our office twice a month mm-hmm. so that they can do appointments easily for parents to get there, and then they can go down the stairs and use the pantry.
Gotcha. Anything else do you want to mention that you didn't already mention that the pantry does, your family pantry?
We also have Foods to Encourage. So that's a program where two county nurses come in and a food educator, and basically they'll sit down with not just clients but anybody in the community where they can get their high blood pressure checked, they can get their diabetes, their blood sugar checked, and then it's tracked, and then there's an education piece of it where they'll, you know, suggest how to better manage it. And, of course, that's all tied into your nutrition because mm-hmm. Those are food-related issues. So we do quite a bit of that. And just like all these other organizations, we're a clearinghouse. So we have a whole book that goes out to new clients that says, here's all the different resources that are available to you, and then, you know, encourage them to take advantage of it so they can stretch their budget so that they can stay on the Cape, especially the families. Mm-hmm. You know, without the families, the Cape is kind of doomed. Yeah. So we're mindful of that.
Yeah. Hadley, what about homeless prevention services?
So I can't say enough about partnerships like the one that we have with Family Pantry that are so critical to reach families and individuals in need. But we basically focus on comprehensive case management to really help people maintain their housing and achieve financial self-sufficiency. So everything from helping with housing applications to fuel assistance to referring folks on to other organizations, we are very focused on being sure that we are referring clients to the organization that can best meet their needs. And then some special programs that we offer, including things like our Adopt a Family program, which is this time of year to support families in need at the holidays, and also Resident Services, which is a partnership with local affordable housing providers to maintain housing, to really focus on where the issues come up, that we are working very closely with the tenant and the landlord to try to maintain someone's housing before it becomes possibly a risk.
Yeah. And, you know, Chris, you were mentioning some of these forms that you need like a PhD just to figure out how to fill them out. So people get confused and it's like it's just not, you know, under enough stress, it's like it's not worth it. But do you also find that as you're counseling people, they go, oh, I didn't know I was eligible for that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, all the time, right?
Yeah. And, you know, the Massachusetts is trying to put a program together. If you're eligible for one, then you're eligible for others. And so you don't have, you know, it's kind of like the common app that you use for college applications. It's the equivalent of a common app for social services, which, you know, that makes a ton of sense. Why mm-hmm. make everybody repeat the same process time and time again?
Right.
So hopefully, you know, that will continue to move forward.
Yeah. We are talking about needs in our community and the ways we can give back. 866-999-4626 if you'd like to join our conversation. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll bring in Betty Burton from Martha's Vineyard right after a break. You're listening to The Point, and it is Giving Tuesday. We're talking about some of the greatest needs in our community and the many ways we can give, whether it's writing a check, donating a toy, or volunteering time or skills. In studio with us, we have Karen Delaney, who's the acting executive director at the Falmouth Service Center, and Christine Menard, executive director of the Family Pantry of Cape Cod. On the phone, Helen Luddy, executive director of the Homeless Prevention Council. And now joining us on the phone is Betty Burton, who has been active in providing food security for the Vineyard for a number of years. Welcome, Betty.
Welcome, Mindy. It's nice to talk to you.
So, Betty, are you seeing an increase of the number of people seeking assistance on the Vineyard like what we've been talking about here?
Absolutely. Those in need have not decreased, and people are losing jobs. So it's been certainly an uptick in everything, and housing has become such a crucial issue here that has an effect on everything else.
Yeah. So what kinds of supports are available?
Well, there's all kinds of I've always said that it's if you have to be broke, Martha's Vineyard's a good place to do it, in the sense that there are a lot of really good organizations that do their best to help out any way they can. There are two organizations that are particularly busy this time of year. The first one of those is Family to Family, which is a holiday basket where they distribute a holiday basket on December 20th. They make it possible for each family to receive ingredients for their holiday meal, including a turkey or a turkey breast, roasting chicken, and fresh produce, which includes bags of potatoes, onions, apples, oranges, spinach, cranberries, stuffing mix, a dozen eggs, and a squash. Pretty much everything you need for the meal.
Yeah.
It's really quite wonderful. This has been going on for 15 years now, and we give these meals out 3 times a year at Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter. But this is our big fundraising time of year.
Yeah.
We also, and it's also a great way for people to get involved. We have high school students who come in to help carry out the groceries on the day of distribution, because we typically give each family about 40 pounds of food. So that's a lot of work, and a lot of our clients are the elderly. And I'll tell you, the kids, when they finish working that day, they don't want to leave, A, and B, they get so much out of it that I think it's a wonderful way for people to get in the spirit of the holiday.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
We suggest that people who would like to help donate $25 for each meal. Now, you and I know that's not going to buy all of the food that I just mentioned, but $25 seems to be a good round number for those who it's hard for them to give. $25 might be affordable. And for those who have plenty, they can always multiply that. Items will be distributed on Friday, December 20th from 1:30 to 3:30 at the First Baptist Church Parish House on Spring Street in Vineyard Haven.
Okay.
If you would like to help, people can give me a call at 508-693-5339.
Yeah, I would say we'll have a link to everybody's information at our website after the show at capeandislands.org. So now, as we head into the holiday season, it can be very stressful for people who are struggling financially. And Heather, you mentioned the Adopt a Family program. Tell us a little bit how it works and how you get involved.
We have our Adopt a Family program that, on average, serves about 150 families and about 350 children. And the what we do is match donors with families, and every child is given the gift of a shirt, a pair of pants, a coat, and 2 special wishes. And so we spend a lot of time giving great care to matching a family with a donor. And then the donors go and do the shopping for the families and get all the information around the specific needs, and then deliver their gifts to what we call our Santa shop, which right now is next door to Staples in Orleans. And all of the gifts are put together in a plastic bag so that the parents are able to take them and wrap them and get them under the tree in time for the holidays. And it makes a huge difference for families this time of year to save that cost. And we still have some needs for, in particular, we still need 28 bikes and helmets, and we are looking for sponsors that will make a contribution to help us pay for those bikes, which have already been put together and ordered. And we still need gift cards for teens, as well as Stop and Shop cards or Amazon cards as well for both the parents and for the children.
Chris, what extra supports are available for people through the family pantry for the holiday?
So we just finished Turkey Day. So we distributed about 700 turkeys across the community, plus all the fixings to 400 of those. And now we're right in the throes of our Toy Day. So we have signed up 1,000 children that are children of our clients. And then the elves get together over the next several weeks, and they will build 1,000 bags for each child. And it's built based on age and gender. This year is a little tight because of how the holiday works with Thanksgiving being
so
late.
So
the elves are hopping this time of year right now. But we've done this for years. Everybody deserves a little joy. And if you're struggling with food and clothing, Christmas can really be a burden. And we know that some of our clients, these are the only toys that the kids get. So we're very committed to this. And we have some very passionate elves that put this program together.
Yeah. And Karen, what about at the service center?
So we also just finished our Thanksgiving program. And as of yesterday, jumped into toys. we're expecting to do probably about 580 children. with toys, and our toy program is just a little bit different. Parents can come in. Our warehouse is transformed into basically a toy store, and the parent walks around with a volunteer, and they can pick out a few toys for each age of child that they have, and get a book and hats and mittens and do the shopping themselves and get gift wrap to go with it. In addition, when they come to pick up their toys, when they go through the pantry, they have a choice of a ham or a turkey and several of the fixins to go along with it.
Betty, anything else you want to add about what's happening in the vineyard for the other than the holiday food baskets?
Yes, the Red Stocking Fund has been busy at work since 1938. So it started out with making sure everybody got some Red Sox. Mm-hmm. But now it's quite a big organization, and it's very similar to the ones other people have been talking about. The group, the children will receive all a coat, boots, shoes, socks, underwear. They get to pick a special outfit. If they want a pair of purple pants, then they can suggest that. And then they can choose from what kind of toy they might want, or if they're older child, like a bicycle or something. And the nice thing is you can go into Red Stocking and say, listen, my book group would like to support a child. And then you are in charge of doing all the shopping for that child, which makes it really a lot of fun for the group. I know I'm guessing the group gets as much fun out of it as the child does on Christmas morning. And it's really all-inclusive, all the things that if you had the money, you would want to get for your child for that holiday. And remembering that these children really don't have a lot of clothing, boots, shoes, the things that they might need. And this way, they get that at this program.
Right. All right, Betty, thanks for joining us. We're going to post a link with more information about supports and services available on the Vineyard at our website, capeandislands.org. Betty Burton, thanks for taking time to talk with us this morning.
Thank you, Mindy.
Now let's talk to Britt, who's calling in from Eastham. Good morning, Britt.
Good morning. How are you? Thanks for having us on.
Sure. You want to go ahead and tell us what's happening? You're with the Community Development Partnership in Eastham. Go ahead.
Yes, correct. So the Community Development Partnership works on essentially housing and economic development. So we service the Lower Cape, so Harwich, Brewster to Provincetown. And we all know that the economics of the Lower Cape are very different from the rest of the Cape, rest of the region, primarily small businesses, startups, very local. And the work that we do on economic development is to nurture those businesses. So those individuals who come into our organization and either want to start a business, grow a business, we provide technical assistance, support, mentoring, microloans, a variety of workshops throughout the year. We're partnered with SCORE as well. And then on the side of housing, we all know what a challenge we're all facing with housing, and not just affordable, but market rate as well. When a family who's making, a decent salary as a teacher and a firefighter can't find a house that they can afford and have a place that's stable for their family. So we work on the housing issue on the Lower Cape, and we do that through our Lower Cape Housing Institute, which is a multi-week educational program that is geared towards municipal officials and employees to help them develop the skills and the tools that they need to address our housing issues on the Cape. We also have a housing rehabilitation program whereby we provide critical repairs to houses for income-eligible residents. So, for example, last year we had a senior woman, a widowed woman who was in her 80s, whose furnace died right before the holidays. Mm. And so we went in there to put in a new furnace, but at the same time we realized that the heat was leaking through her windows, her roof needed repairs, and the handicap access ramp to her house was no longer safe. So we were able to do that through a 15-year zero-interest forgivable loan. And we've been doing this program for quite a number of years. It's partially funded through the state, but there's a lot that we have to raise in addition to support that program. We also manage 72 affordable units of our own as well, and a sober living facility in Orleans. Hey. So there's quite a lot.
That's
that
a
we're
lot
doing.
Going on. Yeah.
But, you know, it's really foundational when you think about it. I mean, you know, housing first. People need a stable, affordable, safe place to live. Okay. And from there springs everything else. And then, you know we need year-round jobs. We need, you know, we have the seasonal economy, and our way around it is to have a very firm economic foundation with year-round jobs that supports local business owners.
Yeah. All right, Britt, thanks for calling and sharing that with us. We appreciate that info. Wondering if, you know, the importance of giving how we teach that lesson to our children and grandchildren, engaging that next generation in giving of time and talent is important also. So many high schools are requiring students to complete community work, which is great, but it's also a wonderful thing to do as a family. Is that, do you see that kind of family thing happening with your, Karen?
Yeah, we just had our turkey drop-off day, which is a big day for the community, and people, whole families come, kids come back from college. We had the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts out in front of Stop and Shop, they from the littlest kid to the bigger Boy Scouts. And we also had a young hockey team that was collecting. So the community really gets involved in that day and kind of collect all month long. And also a lot of organizations have food drives for us, and the children get involved.
Yeah. What about with you, Chris?
It's exactly the same. We also try to... we have hours on Thursday nights and on Saturdays where we encourage the high school kids to come. And we love the kids. It's a great way to start their philanthropic life, if you will. Plus, we also have a garden out back. It's about 9,000 square feet. And that's where families can actually come because we do have an age limit. You have to be 15 to be able to volunteer at the pantry for a couple reasons. One, you have to be physically able to do it and mentally able to understand that there's a confidentiality aspect of the pantry. But we love the garden. And so if you have littler kids, they can come with the parents and work in the garden, which is really sweet because a lot of kids don't understand how food gets to their plate, and so they learn cause and effect. Yeah. They plant beans, they pick beans, they package beans, and they see it feed people.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a really nice way.
You know, it's sometimes you never know what age to kind of start that at. And, you know, my grandson turned 4, and for his birthday party, he was not happy about this. We said, no presents, please bring donations for the service center.
Yeah.
And, you know, he understood. We explained, you have many toys. You don't need any more toys. And this is, you know, we tried to explain to him why we want to do this. He went with me to donate the bags, got a nice thank you letter. But he did say, next year I want toys. But at least, you know, he was
starting,
with it this
though.
Year. Yeah.
Last year, we do a Fresh Start back to school program for our Falmouth families. And we had a little girl who ran a lemonade stand all summer.
Yeah.
And she brought us this little red cup, and it was filled with cash, and people had dropped checks in there. And she, her grandmother, had been one of our volunteers, and she was so thrilled. She got her picture taken and just was so happy to have done this, realizing that she had the ability to go back to school and have new things, and she wanted other kids to have new backpacks.
And there's research showing that being thankful and grateful, two characteristics of people who tend to give, has a positive impact on our physical and emotional health. And I'm sure you see that in your volunteers. And that's you're each like over 600 volunteers. That's a lot to keep track of and organize.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're volunteering at an organization, you want to be there. And so you're passionate just by the fact that you walk in the door every day. And it's, you know, at the pantry, there's 17 different jobs that we can do. So there's something for everybody. And, you know, we had the same thing happen this year. You know, we had a young lady named Maddie Stallworth come through and had a Halloween drive. I was shocked at the amount of product that she brought in.
That's great. Passion's a good seller, right?
How creative is that? Yeah. I would never have thought to do something like that. So, I mean, I think the kids are wonderful. Yeah. So,
And as we mentioned earlier, we have a high number of seniors on the Cape and Islands, and living on fixed income might make giving financially a challenge, but there is so much talent in this group of people. And I'm sure you are both seeing it in your organizations, right? Some of the talent you have.
Yes. As you mentioned, we have over 600 volunteers, and they're working at our thrift shop. They bring retail experience. They bring business experience. They just social work background. What they bring to our organization is just tremendous.
Yeah. Okay. It's as important as the financial donations.
Yes, it is for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we actually ran the numbers, and if I had to have a payroll for every hour that the volunteers spend in our building, it would cost us $2.2 million.
Wow.
So
we find a similar impact at HBCU, too. We actually have volunteer receptionist positions, which are filled primarily by seniors who come in and answer the phones and help us. And that support administratively is enormous, right? Mm-hmm. There's so much value to that.
Hadley, how many volunteers do you have?
We have about 50 active volunteers at any given time who have pretty specific roles, again, primarily working as administrative assistants during the day, but then a lot of volunteers that help with the Adopt-A-Family program, young people as well. And just to speak to youth and families, one of the really nice things that we see around the Adopt-A-Family program is we see families going out and doing the shopping together, you know, and kids actually taking the list of the needs from a family for kids maybe their own age and helping mom or dad do the shopping. And it's wonderful to see. You know, you really see people making that effort and feeling so great about the giving that they're doing. And I think for kids, it really does send that message home that there's a lot of families in need. Mm-hmm. And so many of us are so fortunate to have what we need at the holidays.
Right. Now, we had a new tax law go into effect last year, and there was some concern it might impact the amount people give to charity. Have any of you seen a dip in contributions that could be attributed to that tax law, or is not that much impact?
Well, you know, this was a really hot button when the tax law hit. And the industry said, you know, they took the middle of the road and said it's going to be a 15 to 30% hit. There was, you know, everybody was on each side. Some people thought that those who are no longer going to have to itemize wouldn't give. Then the other half said, well, they'll give because they're passionate about their organization. So we were really careful this year because we wanted to make sure 30% of our donations come in November and December. So we were really mindful about our expenses all year. November looked good for us. So I am really happy about that. So November came in fairly strong. So I'm thinking that December will be okay. Mm-hmm. You know, the bigger donors, they're still itemizing. So there's really no impact there. It's the smaller $50 to $100 donors that we worried about. Mm-hmm. And it seems like, you know, goodwill is winning out and we're going to be okay.
Same thing for you, Karen?
Yes, we've definitely felt supported. We've not noticed a dip in donations.
Yeah. How about you, Hadley?
Same thing. Yeah, I'm so impressed to see that people really do, as Chris said, really focus on the goodwill. I think if they're giving to an organization and they believe in your mission, they continue to give, and that's what we love to see.
Yeah. Nonprofit boards and volunteer positions, this can be another great way to give back. So how do you use your board of directors, and what skills or time commitments are you looking for when you're seeking new board members?
You know, our board meets every other month. So from a time commitment, it's not a really heavy lift, if you will. But a third of our board, they're actually volunteers at the pantry as well. Mm-hmm. So they're volunteering each week, and then they act on the board. So we have a combination. Most of ours is a working board. And their skills, we try to have the community represented, you know, so you have basically, you know, a lawyer or a doctor, you know, retail person, mm-hmm. medical, you know, somebody across the spectrum so that, you know, if you have something come up, you have a resource to go to.
Right.
But the boards are critical for us as far as, you know, they're the kind of the governing, mm-hmm. the governance of the pantry. So that's, I have a wonderful board, yeah. by the way.
Karen?
We also have a great board. A number of our volunteers like to get their hands dirty. One of our board members runs the pet food program. Mm-hmm. Several of our volunteers are over at the thrift shop sorting through clothes. And currently, while Brenda Swain is out on medical leave, I've really utilized the board members to go to many of the speaking engagements to talk about the organization.
Hadley, what about you?
I'm also lucky to have a wonderful board and lots of folks with unique skill sets, but everyone on the board is involved in some committee or a specific project. So we really do ask our board members to specifically support, whether it's special events or governance or operational strategy. You know, they're all very much involved and engaged.
So another way we can support, especially the two pantries here, is you both have thrift shops. You mentioned the thrift shop, Karen. And it's amazing the things you can find in those thrift shops. And that's year-round. So just by, you know, we talk about shopping local. This is another way that we can help provide these needs that we're talking about. And I would say your thrift shops are very unique in that they're not like the typical thrift shops. And I haven't been into yours, Chris, but I have heard about it. Mm. And I've heard, Karen, that Hand in Hand was sort of, you know, the model was Chris's. It's like a boutique. You don't feel like you're shopping in a thrift shop.
Yes, we modeled our thrift shop on Chris. Chris was very gracious. We went multiple times. And yes, it is more like a boutique. People come in. I heard two people come in the door the other day and they said, oh my goodness, we've found our new home. Yeah. And people want to, you know, we have furniture and dishes, glasses, clothes, but it feels like you're just shopping. Yeah. You're not, you know, looking through racks and racks.
And it turns over quickly too.
Yes, it does.
And you were telling me something, Chris, that I didn't know. I said, one of the things that impresses me is sometimes when you walk into a thrift shop, there's that kind of musty smell. Mm. You guys don't have that.
No. We actually have an air system in the basement that where the store is where the storage is, and it purifies the air so that there is none of that. And of course, we're very selective about what goes over there. And I like to say that our thrift shop has been known as the quote Nordstrom of thrift. So it's a great thing. But you know, from a sustainability point, both Karen and I realize that, you know, this covers about a third of our operational expenses. So every dollar you spend at our thrift shops is just a direct donation to the pantry. And that's really important because you don't always want to have to rely on grants and mm-hmm. whatever else. So, yeah.
And Hadley, you know, I was saying it's Giving Tuesday and you open your Facebook page or your email and you've got, you know, requests coming from so many different very good organizations. So what do you, when you give people advice on how, obviously we have passions for certain things, but it's easy to get kind of lost in all of those voices asking for help. So what do you tell people when you give them advice on how to choose who to give?
Well, I tell people to take a look at, you know, an organization that they feel strongly about. And, you know, in our case, if it's HPC, what we try to do is to really give folks different options of ways in which they can give. So at this time of year, we have both an annual appeal, but also our adoptive family program. So it's a wonderful opportunity for folks to either come into our office or go into our Santa shop and talk to volunteers or our staff and find out how they can make a connection and make a gift that feels very meaningful to them. To me, it's really all about the meaningful connection about what really matters most to that donor. How do they want to have impact and how can we help them make the best connection, hopefully, again, within our mission. But if not, you know, sending them on to another organization that might be a better fit. I think we're all great about that on the Cape and islands in terms of always making sure that we're sharing the news of our other partner agencies as well and all the great work that we all do and how important it is to our community.
You want to add anything to that, Chris or Karen?
You know, we try to give everybody a way. The millennials don't write checks, mm-hmm. so we have text to donate. You know, there's some people that prefer to do everything online. There's some people that just want to write a check. So we try to make it easy for everybody. But ours is a little bit easier in the fact that everybody knows what it feels like to be hungry. So I don't have to teach anybody mm-hmm. that. Yeah. You know, if you've missed a meal, you know what it's like. So it's a much easier sell, I think, than maybe other things that you might be facing. But the Cape community is incredibly generous, and yeah. we are lucky.
Yeah.
I would just add that because we have so many different programs, you know, some people want to support a child through our back-to-school program. Other people last week dropped off a turkey. Other people just want to write a check. And then other people want to come in and volunteer. Mm. So there's a lot of ways to help the local nonprofits.
All right. We will have links to the Falmouth Service Center, the Food Pantry of Cape Cod, the Homeless Prevention Council, and the Vineyard Committee on Hunger at our website, capeandislands.org. Hadley Luddy, Executive Director at the Homeless Prevention Council, Karen Delaney, Acting Executive Director at the Falmouth Service Center, and Christine Menard, Executive Director of the Family Pantry of Cape Cod. Thank you all, and thank you for the work that you do. It's really appreciated in the community. Thanks so much for being here this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.